email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 5 5 on ray@rte.ie. Now, following on from the success of Escape the Rooms, sibling collaborators Stephen and Anita Mangan are back with a brand new children's book, a title that I love, The Fart That Changed the World. And we say good afternoon to Stephen and Anita Mangan, who are in the studio in London. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, Ray.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Stephen, I've spoken to you before. So, Anita, hello. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, congratulations on the book. And are you older, younger than Stephen?
I'm way younger. I'm a year younger.
Okay. Well, actually, I knew the answer to that question. And you are sort of Irish twins, as they call them.
Almost, yeah.
Almost, yeah. That's, I think if it's within 13 or 14 months, you're described as an Irish
twin. Is that the cutoff point? Yeah, then we are.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. Congratulations to you both. Laugh out loud stuff. So Stephen, we spoke to you about the last book. Huge success. You've got the bug, I believe, have you?
I do indeed.
Yes, yeah. And how has that changed your life?
At my advanced age, it's very exciting to be starting a whole new, feels like a whole new career. You know, I've been an actor for 25, nearly 30 years. And to get into writing and writing children's books, especially, which I'm really enjoying, is fantastic. You know, as an actor, you come into a project, a lot of the big creative decisions have already been made. They've got scripts and they've chosen directors and they've cast it, and you turn up, you know, halfway along the process. But with writing, you're there at the beginning. It's the blank sheet of paper.
Yeah.
I have three boys of my own who are 14, 11 and 6. And it's just, you know, I see them absorbed by screens and video games and TV, you know, like all kids, I think, these days. And I love reading so much as a kid myself. It's very nice to write stuff that, you know, they're enjoying and that they get a kick out of.
Yes. So it's King Fabian III.
And
he's the one who farts and changes the world.
Do you know what? When I came up with that title, it never occurred to me that I'd be interviewed on the radio and have to say that word so many times. but he does. I mean, the idea behind the book was the butterfly effect, which I'm sure you know all about, Ray. Idea that a butterfly flapping its wings in one part of the world can set off a chain of events that might lead to a hurricane in another part of the world. So I thought it seemed like a good starting point for children, because I think often they feel that they're so small and powerless that the things they do don't really impact on the world. And I wanted to write a story where, you know, one small action led to another one, led to another one, blah, blah, blah. And, to the world literally changed.
We don't know if it was involuntary or voluntary. That's not specified.
The exciting incident was involuntary.
Involuntary. I mean,
it's a royal fart, because I have it on a good authority that they do it too.
it's a cautionary tale as well, that don't tell lies, because King Fabian sort of credited the fart to his butler, Dimmock. And that's where the problem starts, isn't it?
That's where the problem starts, because he isn't honest enough or brave enough to own up and say, I made a mistake, and to take responsibility. And we obviously have parallels, you know, inadvertent parallels in our parliament at the moment, a bit of that going on. But he doesn't take responsibility. He can't face up to disappointing his rather stern wife. It's a problem.
And Anita, you do the illustrations and you obviously have great fun with them. Would Stephen have to, you know, approve, say, your image of King Fabian there?
He does have to approve it, but luckily he's approved everything I've done. He's a very good client. Yeah,
I know who wears the trousers in his family.
Yeah,
tell us. So your younger sister and you're thick as thieves, very close, which isn't a given.
Not at all. But we do. Yeah, there's three of us in the family, and we're all born within sort of 3 and a bit years of each other. Not of each other in total. We've always got on really well. And especially now, as we're working together as well.
I've spoken to Stephen before about his children, and Jack was the protagonist in the first book. Now Frank is, and then Harry will be looking forward to his book. Have you got children of your own, Anita?
I do. I have two teenagers, yeah, right. Maddie and Si.
Aha. Yeah. So they're beyond the target market then?
They are, but they are reading it, currently reading it. So, and my husband's read it and he's way beyond the target market. but you know, saying that, I think it's one of those books that crosses all ages,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, everybody loves it.
And it's irreverent and it's funny and it's...
Exactly. Yeah,
maybe even just slightly thought-provoking, yes, which is...
Well, you never know. I mean, that may have accidentally happened. we live in hope.
Yes. So, Stephen, the last time we spoke, you were heading into the final season of The Split. We spoke to Abby Morgan, actually, last week. She has a brilliant memoir out. I don't know if you know that.
I have. I've read it, yeah.
Yes, it's
fantastic.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. So honest.
And you were telling us about a movie that you'd shot or just finished shooting, A Gaza Weekend, which was coincidentally about a pandemic, which was shot before the pandemic. So where's that at?
That's now finished, and I think it will start appearing at some point. I mean, that's if anyone's interested in watching a lighthearted look at a pandemic. It could be the worst timing in the world for a movie, but we'll see. It's done. I haven't seen it yet. The writer-director is Palestinian. But he's based some of the time in London. So next time he's back, I'm hoping to have a look at that and see how it turned out. Yeah, it got interrupted halfway through by the real pandemic. So we shot half of it in Israel and then the rest of it in Jordan,
which
was a treat, a fantastic country.
The two, you did that brilliant thing. I look forward to it every Saturday morning. It's in the Guardian magazine. It's where they take a photograph from years ago and then they recreate it. So it was you. What age were you in the original photograph?
About 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah.
Young.
And
it's quite disturbing, the modern day take on it. I mean, it looks like, I don't know if you've watched The League of Gentlemen,
yes,
but it's a little
bit
it's a bit Royston Vasey, isn't it? Because we're sort of dressed in the same gear as we were when we were three.
And
holding hands.
Yeah, holding hands. And you have a suit and a thick...
I mean, you wouldn't
tie.
Want to bump into the two of us in a dark alley looking like that. You'd run for your life.
Yeah, you do look like the living dead. I think actually League of Gentlemen has been kind.
Their lawyers will be onto us.
I don't know. Socks and sandals is a good look, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Like, and there's huge Irish connections because both your parents were Irish from over in Mayo, wasn't it? Near Belmullet. Dahoma or someplace, is it?
Dahoma, yeah. Dad was from Dahoma. Mum from Gisala, which is just a couple of miles away.
Yeah.
Just on the main and looking at Achill Island. Pretty about as far west as you can go, almost. So,
yeah. I'm just thinking back to this time. You were in the back garden in England, and probably that was a time of the year where you were looking forward to coming over to Ireland, right? Was it an annual trip, Anita?
Yeah,
it was. It was a very long journey up to Liverpool, and then overnight on the ferry, and then across the entire country.
Yes.
With the three of us in the back. Playing, fighting, Stephen lying on the back of the car, and Lisa and I in the footwells because we thought that was our place.
Right.
Can you imagine?
As the younger sisters.
Feeding me grapes.
Yeah, feeding grapes.
And back then, of course, the trip across Ireland from Dunleary to Dahoma. That was a big trip.
Big trip, 6.5 hours. We'd stop every time at the Longford Arms, I remember.
Right.
And it was never open. It's happened every year. You'd get there and ask for a cup of tea and be told the kitchen was shut. And we never seemed to learn that was going to happen. Going from driving from London to Mayo in the 70s felt like you were going to the other side of the planet. It took that long. And especially when you were, 6 or 7 years old, it just feels endless.
Yeah.
So it did arriving in Belmullet just felt like around the world in 80 days, it felt epic.
But then we had the reward of all our hundreds of cousins waiting for us on the beach. So it's all good.
Because it's wild over there, isn't it? Like, not just the landscape is quite wild.
Yeah, oh, really wild. Yeah,
yeah.
No trees. I mean, it's so, a lot of it, beautiful. I mean, and starkly sort of wildly beautiful.
Yes, Like if the beach wasn't there, you'd describe it as bleak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on a good day, there's nowhere like it on
yes,
Earth.
But, yes.
It depends what you mean by good day. It was sort of wild. I mean, I love it, and it's sort of still undiscovered because it's not on the. It doesn't have the the tourist.
No, you still have to drive forever to get to it, Stephen.
But it's not on the way to anywhere else, is it? I mean, Kerry and Cork get all the tourists, and Connemara is, but no one seems to go to Mayo for holidays. So it's still undiscovered in that way. So it feels like a secret.
Yes, maybe I told you this before, but way back in the day, I think it was The Word or The Tube or one of those late night Friday, Saturday night programs on Channel 4 or BBC 2. They did. They sent somebody to, like Chris Evans, to the Anchor nightclub in Belmullet.
Because
it was the most remote nightclub in Europe at the time. There wasn't a nightclub within 50 miles, and that was its claim to fame.
Well, our uncles had a dance hall in Belmont Palm Court, and we would sit with the band before they went on. Big Tom and Margot, all sort of big hits.
And early Boyzone as well.
Boyzone played there at one point. Yeah,
did they?
Yeah, they did.
So is book three then? Is have you sat down to think about that, or is it finished?
No, I'm so busy, finishing, because I was, I played Scrooge over Christmas in the theatre in London, and when I should have been writing the book, really. So I've just kind of finished that. Anita's done all the illustrations. It's out tomorrow. And then we start thinking about the next book soon. But it'll have to have someone called Harry as its main character.
Yes.
I don't think there are any other children's books with a Harry as a main character either, so I should be okay.
We've done our research. Yeah. I don't think there are.
I know both your parents are dead, so the fact that you, as brother and sister, are doing this together would probably be very special if they were alive.
Oh, totally. But we have a big family, and we get a lot of support from aunties and uncles and cousins, and everyone's rooting for us. It's so lovely.
I see that in the publicity that there's a quote from me. So,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's the first.
Can we have another one?
No, but it's brilliant because Edith Bowman says a beautiful and exciting adventure that ignites the imagination. Right. This is about your first book, and then it's brilliant. Ray Darcy.
Well, it's better than Stephen and Anita Who.
So what happens? You're doing all this publicity now as brother and sister, and is that a little bit strange? Because Stephen, you would have been used to doing interviews on your own.
Yes, I would.
So having Anita sitting beside you there, is that
a real treat? Because it becomes, when you first start out, you're beside yourself with the idea anyone might interview you on the radio or on telly. But I've been acting for a while now, so to have Anita come along and just to see, her enthusiasm and excitement to be part of it, it's great. And it's we get on very well, and I never have to worry that she's going to say anything, horrendous about me. Are you, sis?
Oh no, I'm not. No, never.
No, go on. Go on. We want the dirt on Stephen Mangan, and you're perfectly positioned, Anita. Just one bit of information that we don't know about Stephen Mangan that people will be interested in.
He's squeaky clean.
No, I don't.
There you go.
I mean, he did used to do this annoying thing again on our car journeys to Ireland, where he would sit there and put his finger on my shoulder just for ages, and I would try and not, not get the bait, and he would just sit there for ages with a finger on the shoulder until I just went, all right, that's enough, get off. But I tried to
hold that. I'll take that as the worst thing.
Yeah, there you go. Good. That's the worst thing you've ever done, Stephen Mangan. You are squeaky clean. You are squeaky clean.
We're putting that on the cover.
Stephen put his finger on me.
Yeah. Well, I remember my wife always tells a story about her long journeys, going to campsites in France, and family of three, her older sister, younger brother, and the refrain from the back was, "She's touching my skin! She's touching my skin!"
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? I mean, on occasion the car would be pulled over when Dad had had enough. We'd get her and walk the rest of the way.
But they never did. You never do that as a parent, do you?
Lose the temper, no.
No, not lose the temper, but make them walk home.
There's a lot of threats, but they never followed through.
So finally, fart. Putting fart in the title of a book.
Yeah.
Was there much debate about that?
Well, actually, the publishers did say initially, can we make it the burp that changed the world? And I did put my foot down, if that's an appropriate expression. It just seems to me funnier, the way it is, fart that changed the world. Because hopefully it's an intriguing title. You think, how can one of those change the world? Yeah. But like I said, I didn't think it through. We did Alan Titchmarsh, his show.
Yes.
And he said, I've been in broadcasting for 40 years. I've never said that word on the television before. So we are changing people's careers by making them say that word.
It also allows you to say the fart that changed the world is released.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it has the smell of success about it.
Yay!
The Fart That Changed the World, Stephen Mangan, illustrated by his younger sister, Anita Mangan. Young and younger sister, Anita Mangan,
exactly.
Is in bookshops now and highly recommend from here. Stephen, thank you very much for talking to us. Anita, thank you and mind yourselves.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye now. Bye. That's it from us. Sarah's on the way. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.